Welcome back to another episode of the Double or Nothing podcast. We are in the AFC and NFC championship week. Do a little recap from last week. I went 1-2-1, and I can complain every single loss was a terrible beat.
I went 3-1, and Mark Andrews away from the sweep.
You know what? Outside the Ravens one, I'll say that was the only one that probably wasn't a bad beat. But
no, I agree with you. I mean, I took the Chiefs for the bad beat reasoning, though. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think a lot of times I've said on this podcast, no matter how bad people think the Chiefs are, or that they get bailed out, or that a million things happen, they always find a way to win. That's all part of gambling on the
Chiefs.
That
has to go into your handicap.
100%. Like, I've been saying this for so long. Everyone's like, oh, well, the refs bailed them out, so I'm not going to bet on the Chiefs in against this team. It's like, well, why? If you think that the refs have bailed them out for 15 weeks, do you think that that's going to stop now? No. Like, especially not now in the playoffs. So I think, am I saying that I bet on the Chiefs solely because I thought the refs were going to give them a bunch of calls? Like, no, but no. I'm saying that factors into, like, when you see a spread like 8.5, and what did I say? I think the Texans are going to cover, but I think the Chiefs are going to win more. Yeah. And it's like, when you know that a spread is in a weird spot like that, and you have the Chiefs, like, in the playoffs, you had to know that a bunch of calls were going to fall his way. It's like the new Brady. You have to know calls are going to fall their way. So I agree with you in the sense that it is a bad beat for sure, because the Texans, you know, Texans played better football game than the Chiefs.
Well, you know, it depends when you took them, right? Because they did go all the way up to 9 and landed on 9. It was a bad beat for both sides.
I saw it at 9.5 too, right? Yeah. And then the safety.
Yeah, so like, you know what?
It was a weird game for sure. And I think that the Texans, I think we kind of pegged it pretty right. Like, I think that we kind of both thought the Chiefs were going to win the football game. Yeah. And we kind of both thought the Texans were going to cover. And we didn't really know which way to lean. I lean Chiefs just due to the fact of all the miscellaneous bullshit that always goes on with the Chiefs. And I think you lean Texans because you thought the Texans were a better balanced football team.
It was like you said last week, the rust versus rest. Maybe, hey, if the Texans can jump out to a 7-0 lead, then
I thought CJ played well. I thought the Texans overall unit played well. I mean, if you look at just the head-to-head stats, the head-to-head statistics, I mean, you sent me a bunch of cool stuff on Instagram where it's like teams are 49-0 when hitting all these metrics, and the Texans hit every single one of them. You know,
it was a Jets stat. Like, only other team that would lose like that would be the Jets.
And it's just so funny because, like, the Jets have all these stats like that, and then the Chiefs have all the stats on the opposite.
So, well, you know what? The kicker, I think, did he miss a couple extra points? Fairbairn or a field goal or something like that?
Yeah, he did not play well. The kicker.
I don't know what happened to him. In the beginning of the year, he was banging like 60-yard field goals, like it was nothing. Then at the end, he kind of just tailed off. He's just not a cold weather kicker. But that's another thing that goes into it.
I thought the roughing the passer calls were really bad, and I think that they kind of changed the course of the game. I mean, the Will Anderson one, where they claimed he went to the head and neck area roughing the passer.
Yeah,
and that was a really, really just. That was just a classic vintage, you know, Mahomes / Brady playoff call.
I will say, from that angle where the ref was, like, behind, he was like directly behind Mahomes. I could tell why he thought it was helmet to helmet, because it looked like his head went like this a little bit. And then when the ref's behind him, it's like,
I get it.
I understand.
And it's Mahomes. So I understand. It's just that was on third down, and that led to a touchdown.
Yeah.
I mean, that was bad.
Because it would have been fourth down.
Yeah. It was really bad. And I mean, I think I start to see, like, for me, I've always kind of liked the Chiefs. I think it's because everyone else hates them. So I tend to always lean towards, like, the villain in a sense.
I always respect them.
Yeah. So I kind of never understood why people hated the Chiefs, because I get it. Travis Kelce and Mahomes can be a little corny from time to time. But I always thought Travis Kelce was pretty cool. I always thought the Chiefs overall were just, like, not that hateable. Like, Andy Reid was always funny. I always liked Andy Reid.
I always loved Andy Reid.
So, like, all those guys, even dating back to before Mahomes, obviously it's the Mahomes era that's hated, but I liked the Chiefs organization. But then you see, like, when you see Patrick Mahomes flop like that, I mean, that's where you can see where the hate just builds up, because it's like, Not only does he intentionally slow down before he goes out of bounds, which I think is extremely smart. I know a lot of people think it's scummy. I think that's super smart. When
if you let up and you get hit, you can't cry for the penalty then because it's a legal hit.
But I'm saying if you let up right before you go out of bounds and then you step out of bounds so that like they can't stop. Like he lets up, like he'll step out of bounds and then stop. Like and like so that he gets hit like when it's a full chase.
Yeah. But technically that's not a penalty.
But if he's out of bounds, it is.
He steps out until his foot is physically out.
No, I get that. But I'm saying I think he lets up a lot right before he goes out and then steps out and then gets hit.
Yeah, he does.
But I'm saying like what he did there, like he just slowed up. He slowed up and didn't get his feet out and then tried to flop. Yeah. Like that's just like I think the first part of it is smart to let up, step out of bounds, and let somebody hit you. That's smart. I know it can be scummy.
I think it's smart. I'm glad they didn't throw the penalty
was ridiculous.
They should do what they do in the NBA. Everyone was getting on LeBron for years for doing it, and now you know you get penalized. You get fined for it. Like Patrick Mahomes should be fined $10,000 for exaggerating. That was
so bad.
It drives me nuts. I forget who I was telling this to, because earlier in the year he did that like kind of shuffle thing, so the defender let up because he was going out of bounds, and then he takes it upfield another 15 yards.
Yeah,
and it's like, all right, like if you're a defender, you go up to him and say, you do that again, like you're going to the hospital.
Yeah, I know. That's like, crazy. I agree.
The extra 15 yards you just get, I'll hit you next time. It'll be a 15-yard penalty, but you ain't coming back in the game.
I 100% agree. I 100% agree. But I will say I was like borderline. Well, I don't know what I'm about to say on YouTube, but I was not in a good place because I texted you before the game. I talked to you about it before the game. There was nothing I loved more than Travis Kelce over 110 yards. It was plus 1,200. It was plus 1,200. And I was just looking at it like, this guy is an automatic 100 yards in the playoffs. Like, why is this plus 1,200? The line was so weird that, like, it just didn't make sense. I know he's had a little bit of a down year.
Imagine that stacked with a touchdown.
I just couldn't believe that was the line. So I was like, it's so weird that, like, maybe he's just not going to have a good game. So I laid off it. Of course he hits it. And it was like plus 1,200 over 110. I thought that was, like, not a lock, but, like, for something over 1,000, I just thought that was, like, a no-brainer.
I felt the same thing about Stroud over 15 rushing yards.
Yeah, you texted me that, and that was perfect. That was a lock.
What the heck? I was like, why is it so low? And then you look, his regular season, he doesn't run. But then I'm like, well, last week during the Chargers, man, on third down, like, he's going.
I put four same game parlays in. Obviously, I did a same game parlay, which I don't normally do, but I did it for every week, for every game.
Yeah.
Right around like 150 to 200 to win like right around 1,000.
Yeah.
And I went 2 for 4. I didn't hit the Chiefs game. I didn't hit the Chiefs game one because
Hopkins, right?
Because like Hopkins didn't have the three catches, which I went with a pretty made one, which was stupid. But I just kind of like liked it. It just stuck
out
to me.
Which
was funny
because you're like, the only one I don't like is Hopkins.
I know. I should have, and I said to you, I should swap it out.
But I don't feel like editing it.
Yeah, I was like, if I swap it out for Kelce over 110, then it's just not going to hit. And I, of course, that would have been a gazillion-dollar parlay. So I didn't do that. But I lost that one, but I had the Texans plus 21 as the first leg of the tease. And then in the next game, I had the Commanders plus 22, and I did a parlay, a same game parlay, 200 to win 1,000 hit. The following game was the LA and Eagles.
And the Eagles, yeah.
And I hit a same game parlay in that as well.
Everyone did pretty good.
200 to win 1,000, and I had the LA plus 18. They gave me a little bit of a heart attack, but then they kind of closed it out, and they kept it close towards the end, so it was fine. But, yeah, overall, I hit a four-team 12-point teaser to win 5,000, and then I hit two parlays for, like, 1,000. And then I did put $200 for all four games on a first touchdown score just to try to hit because I figured the parlay would cover it if it didn't. And
I didn't hit. Two games, of course, was the second touchdown scorer. But
oh,
so I should have bet on MGM to get that. Like,
to
that,
get the
yeah,
insurance.
You get a push. You get a push if they're a second touchdown scorer. But I didn't. I did it all on FanDuel.
That's funny. I didn't know MGM had that.
Like, yeah, so that's a pretty insurance. Cool thing. Like, if you guys are looking to do first touchdown bets, and that's a big thing that you guys do, I think it's BetMGM or Caesars, but check both. One or the two. If you put a first touchdown scorer and you bet on anybody you want, if that person doesn't score the first, but then winds up scoring the second touchdown, the bet's a push.
Oh,
so you know, great. if you're putting big money up, you know, it can be worth it.
Even if, you know, you put $20 on it.
I always whatever, do on FanDuel, like, just because it's easier for me and I have access to it, so I just do it. But
yeah, it's like
But yeah, I mean, if you're this kind of person who's got all the apps on your phone and you're ready to rock and roll on all four, on all the big major ones, then maybe look into something like that if you're a big first touchdown guy.
The second game was the Commanders and the Lions.
I mean, what a
game that was.
Yeah, baby. We both hit the Commanders. And I said I think that the Commanders have the ability to win the football game.
It was so weird because that one, I didn't, you know, it's like, yeah, looking back on it, that was the one, like, I was like, I don't know how at 9.5, like, how are the Commanders getting so many points? I truly don't understand.
Yeah, just for a team that doesn't punt. I mean, like, they really just don't punt. I mean, even in this Lions game, what did they punt one time?
I think one time.
Yeah.
Remember last week I said, take the under punts. It was 6.5.
Yeah, you were
there.
You
was
a lot.
One punt.
I mean, yeah, Jaden Daniels is like I've been saying since literally weeks and weeks and weeks before the season. I mean, we started this podcast about 2 months before the season, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
And I've been saying since the first episode, the guy's a solidified. He's going to be a solidified superstar, dude.
Oh,
like,
yeah. That was one of our first clips, and the Commanders fans were like, yo, we think the same thing. Like,
yeah.
He's going to be awesome.
He's going to be awesome, and he is. I mean, we were down on Caleb, or at least I was, and I think you were too.
I wouldn't say down. I mean, really the only person I was down on was Bo Nix, which ended up being wrong.
Yeah, but I mean, all in all, I didn't see how many people weren't on the Jaden Daniels wave. I was so locked and loaded. I mean, I took every single prop that was available on the guy. And this is why. I mean, the guy, I know this sounds like a preposterous, like, comparison, because people are just going to be, oh, you know, it's first year, you can't go that far. But I mean, the guy is literally Lamar Jackson with Mahomes' mentality. It's crazy. I mean, the guy can run like the wind, throw the ball downfield with better accuracy than I've seen in a long time. I mean, the guy looks like fucking Drew Brees throwing the ball as far as accuracy.
I don't know how, and I don't know how. It's like, I know the Josh Allen's and the Lamar get brought up in the MVP. Why isn't he? You know, and it's like, oh, well, you know, like, Josh Allen, if he wasn't on that team, would be terrible. Well, we saw what the Commanders were last year. They were number two pick in the draft. They were pretty terrible. Now this year, they're 12-5.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I agree. I agree. But I think
I'm not saying he should win it, but to him to not even be like brought up in the conversation.
I think when you have another award locked up, like,
yeah, like rookie,
you know, I mean,
or,
and he did have a little bit of a down spell throughout the season where people were like borderline saying Bo Nix should win rookie of the year. So I understand, like, why maybe people were leaning in that direction. But, yeah, Jaden Daniels is incredible. He's going to be incredible for a long time to come. And I think that he has everything going for him, momentum, everything. The only thing he's lacking at this point in time to make it to the Super Bowl is experience.
It seems like he's out there when you, and he's been in college. He was in college for a long time. So maybe like the bowl games and stuff like that.
He don't even crack a smile, dude.
No, like he's on the sidelines. Just like,
yeah, like, it doesn't faze him. Like, it's very strange to see when you see a rookie quarterback come into a game like this. I mean, they're kicking game winning field goals that are doinking off the fucking upright. And the guy doesn't even crack a smile, man. I mean, he's just like, he just walks, struts out onto the field like, yeah, all right, we won. Like,
they're
no
just
big
a
deal.
Scary team. I mean, I can really, like,
no moment is too big for the guy, or so it seems up until this point. Who knows? I mean, that can change at the drop of a hat, you know? I mean, he could make a really bad rookie type mistake in a big game this weekend, and all the cards could flip against him. But as of right now, there's no real reason not to believe in Jaden Daniels.
Playing with house money. I think when you're a certain point where, like, everyone expects you to lose, then it's like,
he was in a good spot coming in. Like, he had pretty much zero expectation coming into the year. like outside of like if this guy wins 5 football games, like he's the man. You know?
Like he it's a step forward, and for him to double that expectation and then some, it's just incredible to watch.
Yeah,
feel bad for the Lions. I don't. It's too early to say this. This could be the start. Maybe the Lions missed their window of Super Bowl. I know they had a bunch of defensive injuries this year. They lose Ben Johnson, the offense coordinator, is going to the Bears now. Now they're about to lose Aaron Glenn, the defensive coordinator. And they're also, he's bringing with him some other Lions exec from up top to be maybe the Jets GM. Now you start to see, and the Eagles went through this after their Super Bowl appearance, is the coordinators start getting poached. Then you have to refill. Then you have to redo some offense. The only one left is Dan Campbell, which, you know, everyone knows how we feel about him. But could this be like a turning point now for the Lions at this point of like,
I expect
a small step back. Not saying they're going to miss the playoffs, but maybe, hey, they won like 15 games this year. Maybe they'll go down to like 11.
Yeah, I don't know. I could see the Lions. I was never, you know, I was never hitching my wagon to the Lions. You know, I always thought that they were just a very, very, very reckless team. A team that was fun to watch, exciting to watch, but a team that you never really felt was going to come through when it counted.
Just because it was just so bad.
And a lot of injuries, man. Injuries.
Yeah.
Very similar to what the Niners have been. You know, this juggernaut of a team that comes in, they get plagued with injuries, and bad things happen towards the end of the year, right? I mean, look at Brock Purdy getting knocked out. I mean, the Eagles beat the Niners, and the Niners didn't throw a pass from the third quarter on that year. They went to the Super Bowl.
I saw people on TV yesterday getting after Goff. Like, what do you want Goff to do? I mean, he scored 28 points still, or 31, however many he scored. And, like, you know, the defense couldn't stop anybody.
Yeah.
So what is he supposed to do, you know? And then you have Ben Johnson drawing up plays for Jameson Williams to throw passes in the fourth quarter. Like, what are you guys doing?
But this is what I'm saying. This is where the recklessness kind of comes back to bite them. It feels like they're the kind of team that can really catch you off guard in the regular season with their wild, insane play calls.
Yeah.
But they kind of just try to do too much, I think, in the playoffs, and I don't think it works. Where you have other guys like Andy Reid, who just sticks to the game plan, wins football games, and then in big moments pulls out like little tiny trickery plays that
plays that are like 3 or 4 yard plays.
Yeah,
you know?
and they get the job done. Whereas like Ben Johnson can, I mean, listen, those Jameson Williams plays, they were big time for them throughout the season. They won them a few football games, or at least put a few games away, but. You know, it's just the kind of thing that can definitely bite you in the ass. I mean, and Dan Campbell going for it on every fourth down. I mean, I know it didn't really come into play too much in this game, but those are the kinds of things that can wind up biting you. So,
yeah, I really don't like, and it'll never change, but, you know, I don't like how, you know, Ben Johnson, the offense coordinator for Lions, I mean, he's doing interviews all week with other teams to be their head coach.
Tyler said the same thing.
And
when he was
he's supposed
here.
To be game planning for this. So you can't tell me his focus the whole week should be on game planning for.
I agree.
And then it's the same thing with Aaron Glenn. Like, his mind is elsewhere, getting phone calls. Hey, you know, Monday, interview. Tuesday, interview. Like, where is his mind? Is it prepping for the interview? Is it getting the defense ready? Is it?
I agree. Like, and I think the Lions defense I know Aaron Glenn is whatever, but I mean, like, everyone's like injuries. Well, it's like, you know, that's the kind of thing that takes place in the NFL.
Yeah.
So
like,
if you
can't
adjust,
just blitz, like they just blindly blitz because it worked against Sam Darnold, and the stuff didn't work against Jane Daniels.
And we said the same thing. If they try to blitz him, what's going to happen? Jane Daniels is going to extend plays with his legs and make good throws downfield. So I don't think that the blitzes are going to be that effective against him as they were against Sam Darnold. And we were 100% correct. I mean, this is kind of we saw this coming.
I mean, in all around honesty, it's like, you know, the Bills did pretty well against Lamar. You know, they just had Matt Milano spy him all game. You know, you don't need to send six people, and then you just get they got killed all game and never made an adjustment.
Yeah,
I don't understand.
I mean, at the same time, I mean, Jane Daniels might have shocked the world. He didn't shock me.
No.
You know, he might have shocked the world. He definitely did not shock
me. I mean, there wasn't a world that we didn't think that the Commanders weren't going to score 27 points last week.
Yeah.
Like,
that's why I thought that I looked at every possible scenario. Everyone dogs me for doing the teasers, this and that. I looked at every possible scenario, and everybody was on the teasers with the Chiefs and the Lions, and everybody was on the money line parlays with the favorites, and it's just like, if you just took it at face value, to get the Texans with three touchdowns was a no-brainer. To get the Commanders with more than three touchdowns was a no-brainer. Yeah. Like, so, like, those two legs of the tees were almost just done before the game even started.
Yeah.
You know? Obviously, when 100%. You start to get into the 18 and the 11 with the last two legs, like, you're kind of getting into the territory of if there is a blowout, it's going to kind of go against you.
Yeah.
But, and the Ravens, I mean, did make me sweat it out to the end, but... So, all right. So, the next game we had was the Rams and the Eagles.
Rams and the Eagles. And I think that game kind of went how, I mean, the spread was 6.5, 7, and
yeah,
it landed there. So, it kind of went, you know, it made you sweat a little bit at the end, obviously, if you took the Eagles like me, and then you're, you know, like, why did what's his name miss two extra points?
It's 100%. Like, that guy has been awful for a few weeks now. And
well,
like,
that's the thing with the weather. You got to kind of take that stuff into account that he has not been good this year.
Yeah. I mean, you can't take missed extra points into account when you're betting a football game. I mean, I guess maybe with Jake Elliott, you have to, but yeah. I mean, that's not something you foresee happening in a big game. I do think it was a little frustrating to watch because it seemed like, it seemed like the Rams kind of had a lot of opportunities with the ball in their hand, couldn't really do much. And then it seemed like really when it came down to the wire, they just drove downfield like it was nothing and
that's
scored.
Every time.
And scored. And it was like, and the defense wasn't even in prevent. Like, it was just like they were running. Like, I was showing Bruno, they had like however many, they were rushing five. Like, they were playing normal defense. And it just seemed like what the Rams couldn't do all game long, at the snap of a finger, we're able to drive right downfield.
They dropped, you know what, the snow like got so heavy between quarters two and three and then kind of pulled back a little bit quarter four. But you can see, like, I mean, it was affecting Puka. He had that crazy catch down the sideline, but it was affecting him. He had a couple drop balls that game where it's like, oh, wow, did that just, but it.
That one catch was crazy.
Catch was nuts.
Nuts.
But
nuts.
The other ones, I mean, it, you know, it sounded like the football was made of concrete.
I know. I know. And I will say maybe a little bit slept on because of, you know, people are so superstar heavy when they watch these NFL games. But, dude, Jalen Carter.
No, like, he's a beast.
MVP of the game. Like, I mean, Saquon, obviously, because Saquon is just who he is. But we almost borderline expect it, as crazy as that sounds. We kind of expect it to be that. I mean, I said it's going to be the Saquon show, and it was. But, dude, Jalen Carter single-handedly took over that game defensively.
He's the next Aaron Donald.
I mean, all those defensive injuries that they faced, that really could have spun the game on its head.
I know.
It really could. I mean, they were down to like a third-string corner at one point.
They were already missing their green dot guy who calls the plays going into the game. Then they dropped two corners.
I was like, not good. I was like, wow, this could really alter the entire game. And Jalen Carter just bust through the line, that huge sack at the end of the game. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe he just
Stafford
put this game
had
away.
Someone, like, if he didn't get sacked, he had someone wide open because the one D-back, I don't know if, who it was, but he slipped and fell in the snow, and then there's a guy like this, and then when the guy turned his head to look, and Stafford's just
on the ground,
pummeled.
I mean, yeah, Jalen Carter really, really was a game wrecker, so I think he's going to be an absolute star, too. So
All right,
that was the Eagles game. Johnny had the Eagles
six, and you bought them the seven.
I bought them the seven. Yeah,
so got the dub.
So I got the dub there. They did close at seven though too. So even if you were gambling, then like you weren't really necessarily, you didn't really even have to buy the point if you didn't want to. Like, Johnny got on them early and took them on a six. I was saying buy the point if you were going to do it, but I thought it was going to go to seven, and it did. So we were both on the right side there. I mean, it was splitting hairs. But
I was lucky.
We were
I got it. When I, because that was the lowest it ever was all week. Before pre-kickoff, it was, 7.5.
Yeah.
And, but like you said, the teaser was the way to go for all these games.
Yeah, absolutely. You
know? And not with the favorites either.
Like, no.
I mean, I didn't feel comfortable with the Lions, even in a 10-point. I know it's tough to say that now, but it's like, I would have rather took the over 45 than
yeah,
the Lions.
I mean, the line. Yeah, I agree. I completely agree.
Scary.
So that was that game, and then we got into the pretty much the most anticipated game of the week, which was the Bills and the Ravens. And I'm gonna be honest with you, man. I know this sounds this is gonna sound biased, but I really don't think we were on the wrong side. I mean, I think the Ravens are clearly a better football team, right? I mean, they made every singular mistake you could possibly make.
And they lost by
two. And they lost, and they lost, and they lost by two on a drop two-point conversion. I mean, listen, I understand people are going to have Lamar's head on a stake. I get that. I get that because he has not performed in the playoffs.
I'm not saying he had a good game by any stretch.
No.
But to make it seem like I don't think the mistakes were early. He came back. And you know what? The other mistakes weren't on, you know what? At the time where it came down to it, the other mistakes weren't on him.
I mean, the first interception thrown was terrible. I mean, awful. It was borderline a fair catch.
Yeah.
I mean, it was horrible.
Whatever way you want to cut it, I know they said Matt Milano affected. He didn't affect. It was a bad throw. Looking back at the clip, he saw Bateman beat his guy. He thought he was going to run the fly. Bateman saw the safety. Lamar didn't see it. Bateman cut back to the sideline. Ends up being an airmail. So yeah. I think he thought Bateman was going to run the fly route because he had his guy beat.
Yeah.
And it was just a bad read.
I think it was just a jitters, excited for the playoffs, comes out, makes a bad mistake. So there you go. That's playoff Lamar, right? So, boom, I get that. You know, dog him for that. But like you pointed out, Mark Andrews drops a ball right in his hands. The following play, obviously Lamar still has to hold on to the ball, but you know, Mark Andrews makes an easy catch. We're talking about a different situation, but Lamar winds up putting the ball on the ground, fumbles, another bad mistake, right? Both lead to points. But from that point on, I mean, Lamar really truly battled all the way back and put his team in a really good position to win the football game. Mark Andrews has this huge catch. I don't know what the guy's trying to do at 200-something pounds, trying to back cut like he's Saquon Barkley, and gets the ball punched out. Like, just go down or drive forward, fall to the floor. He tries to get fancy, gets the ball punched.
Yeah.
Huge. I thought the game was over right then and there.
Me too.
Then you give the ball back to Lamar. He drives 90-some-odd yards downfield and throws an absolute fucking bomb.
We get 2 minutes.
Throws an absolute fucking bomb to Isaiah Likely, puts the ball in the end zone. Boom, we're back in action.
I know.
Then they don't hand the ball off to Derrick Henry, which I kind of thought was a mistake, but then the play call just winds up working out absolutely perfectly. Same play they ran versus the Steelers, and Mark Andrews drops both of them. He dropped the 2-point against the Steelers, and he dropped this one. This one was right in his goddamn hands.
I'm not going to kill him for not handing the ball off to Henry. They tried it on the two drives before where they ended up having to take a field goal where they handed it off to him. He got stuffed at the line.
Yep.
And, like, sometimes it's not always the bet. Like, it, the most obvious situation to do is to hand the ball off, but he still has to go get 3 yards. And to be honest, at the goal line before, it showed that he couldn't get the 3 yards.
I get it.
It was a great play call.
I agree.
Like, if a play call doesn't succeed because someone drops a ball, no one should be like, they should have did something else. No, the guy dropped the ball.
I just like the idea of, like, they're so good with the read option that I feel like if you could do it here, you're looking at the line. If it's open, give it to Henry. If it's not, pull it back. Now Lamar can either run for himself or throw it to Andrews. And obviously, I get it. The play design worked out perfectly and Andrews dropped the ball, but it's probably the most impact I've seen a non-quarterback make on a loss, like, ever in a big game.
I know.
Like, I don't know if, like, obviously you could have these one individual plays where, like, somebody makes a big mistake and you're like, oh, it's that guy's fault. But there's so many things that happen throughout the game. Mark Andrews made 3 mistakes that basically cost him. Drops a ball, turns into a Lamar fumble next play. Then fumbles the ball. That's the biggest play of the game up until that point. Then they get the ball back with still a chance to go down and win the football game. He throws a touchdown and then drops a 2-point conversion. I mean, 3 massive plays that determine the whole game. So, great player. Big part of the reason why they got where they got to.
Oh, yeah.
But you got to come up with at least one of those 3 plays and it's a different game. So, credit to the Bills, but I don't think the Bills left that game feeling like they won. I think that the Ravens left that game thinking that they beat themselves.
I agree.
All right. So,
I mean, one more thing in the Ravens that as well. It's like no Zay Flowers hurts. I think it wasn't like, you know, it shouldn't be looked down negatively on Lamar. And I'm not trying to make excuses for him, but no Zay Flowers. Like, they completed the pass to someone named Anthony Miller. And I texted him. I said, who the hell is this guy? Like, no one even knows who this is. And everyone will still get on him. But, hey, that's besides the point. Josh Allen pulled to Mahomes that game. He didn't do anything spectacular. He didn't have to. All he had to do was hand the ball off and let the other team make mistakes. And that's kind of – they're kind of taking the Chiefs approach to, hey, you know what, a team in the playoff who makes more – who turns the ball over, they usually lose the game. And that's kind of what they didn't have
to do.
I
mean, Jalen Hurts and Josh Allen threw for a combined like 250. Yeah, I mean, it's crazy to think, but I will say I'm not this is not bad talk about Josh Allen, because in all honesty,
he didn't have to do anything. And let's be real,
I always think he's going to drive downfield and score. So like he's definitely an unbelievable talent. It's just, it's not like Josh Allen overpowered the Ravens. Like the Ravens just truly beat themselves. Yeah. I mean, that's just what it boiled down to.
And even if Mark Andrews scored, I mean, there was a minute and a half left. There was probably a 75% chance Josh Allen would have got them in position to at least kick a field goal to win the game.
I am totally not disagreeing with that at all.
And if Bass makes it, then who knows? But like he would at least get them down there because he's Josh Allen.
Yeah,
in that situation, he's like Mahomes and Burrow. I just always expect him to, hey.
But he wasn't really throwing the ball all that crazy. So it's like maybe the Ravens, I don't know. Like you can play what ifs all day. Bills won the football game. They deserve to be there. They've been great all year. They've won big games. So Josh Allen deserves to be in the spot he's in. And Lamar Jackson did everything he could after a really bad start to put himself in a position to win the game. And it just, the cards didn't fall their way. So it came down to the wire like we all expected. And the Bills came out on top. That's just football.
Good for them. And that'll lead us right into, you know, only two games this week. The first game, we have the Commanders +6.5 at the Philadelphia Eagles. Over under 47.5.
This is a buy to 7 all day and twice on Sunday. You know, I mean, this is you buy them the 7, no doubt about it here. You cannot, I mean, like, if you really, really are that confident in the Eagles, then hey, then do your thing. But with a team that scores as much as they scored, give them 7 points with the momentum they have going into this game. I mean, like, I think a lot of people might look at it as a letdown spot. Hey, they just shocked the world, beat the Lions. I don't think that this team is like resting on their laurels because they beat the Lions. I think this team is so motivated to keep going, so motivated to shock the world. They have all the momentum in the entire world, like on their side. They just took off the big dog. They beat Baker. Nobody thought they were going to beat Baker in the Bucks. They beat the Lions. Nobody thought they were going to beat the Lions. Now they're going against the Eagles, and I don't think the narrative is nobody thinks they're going to win. I think the narrative is, the Eagles should win.
Yeah.
Like, that's what the narrative is. So
I think the line is correct. Like I think it should be 6.5. They're probably – but, like you said –
I think it should be 4.5.
I think they're going to look at themselves and say, hey, we're a 12-win football team, like, and we beat them just a couple weeks ago. So,
yeah,
you know,
I mean,
know Hurts was hurt, but it's not like Pickett had a bad game going into that game. And with the Eagles' defensive question marks, I have to take the 6.5 with you.
Yeah, I mean, think about it this way, right? I mean, if this was a regular season game, like for the division at the end of the year, and the Eagles were home and the Commanders were playing as good as they played coming off all these big wins, what would the spread? The spread should be like 3, maybe 3.5.
Well, at one point it was
with the Eagles injuries.
4.5.
Yeah, with the Eagles injuries and all that. Like if the Commanders were +3, I'd take them at +3. So if they're +6.5, I'm going to buy them to a full touchdown, and I'm not really going to think twice about it. I think that Jaden Daniels and that offense is going to have no problem scoring, especially now with a bunch of question marks on the Eagles defense. I think the Commanders defense has played decent. I mean, I know they just gave up a bunch of points to the Lions, but everybody gives up a bunch of points to the Lions. So I think that their pass defense is one of the best in football. Their run defense is really not good. So that's obviously scary going against the best running back in football. I could see the same kind of result happening. Jalen going out, throwing for 130 yards, Saquon running for 200, and them squeaking out another win.
It's going to be a totally different scheme. It's like they won't have to blitz. You know, I mean, their defensive line is so good. Something's wrong with A.J. Brown. I don't know what. I mean, for him to drop that ball last week was like,
I know,
uncharacteristic. I know it was cold, but he just doesn't seem
to be himself. He's in his own head now with the stupid book thing that comes out. And I think Jalen's not throwing the ball that well, which is then in turn putting A.J. in a bad spot because he's kind of like it's never really expecting to come his way. And then when it does, he's kind of shocked that the ball's even out in the air. So I don't know. It's a weird spot, but I mean, what Saquon's doing right now and what Jalen's able to do with his legs, especially in the bigger moments, he seemed to come through for the Eagles. He had the big 44-yard touchdown run. So I understand why anybody here
who's especially on the Eagles side, like if you're an Eagles fan, like why they have confidence in winning this football game. But I think it would be dumb to not be scared of the Commanders right now.
100. I still think the Eagles are going to win, and I think they'll squeak it out, like you said, just by controlling the ground game.
Yeah.
And Saquon's just going to eat a bunch of clock, and they'll go on these long, devastating drives. And that's how they always win games. I mean, that's how they are. They just kill the clock. Saquon will get 5-6 yards at a chunk, and it'll just be so annoying on the Commanders. But you know what? That's been their MO all year.
Absolutely, it has been. I've been riding against the Eagles, and like, you know, you're 50-50. Sometimes they don't cover, sometimes they do.
Yeah.
But to say that they're not capable of going all the way is crazy at this point. I don't think Jalen Hurts has got it in the tank. I think Jaden Daniels, if you swap quarterbacks, spread's minus 20.
I think whoever wins this game is going to win the Super Bowl. Deep down inside, I think whoever, I don't know, like, I think the Eagles are going to win. I always, you know, that was my pick from the beginning. I think the Eagles will win the Super Bowl. But if the Commanders knock them off, they will. I can't see, if Buffalo beats the Chiefs, I cannot see Buffalo's defense stopping the Commanders in any way, shape, or form. Like, I just can't see it. And I can't see, I know the Chiefs have a good defense, but they're a big blitz defense too, and I think Daniels would eat it alive.
Yeah.
And so it's one of those things where it's tough to say that right now, because it's just, but I just think, I don't know, this Commanders offense is just
Next level. Yeah. No, I agree. In this situation, I think that I'm going to take the Commanders to 7, and I'm definitely going to take a money line as well. I think the Commanders are going to win this football game. I think they're definitely going to cover 7. And I mean, they'll probably cover the 6.5 too, but
yeah.
I'm going to buy it to 7, especially because there's only 2 games.
Yeah.
So that's my pick for the week. I don't see a world where the Commanders are not in this football game to the end. Right. So if you're going to give me that many points, that's what I'm going to ride with. And it looks like Johnny's going to do the same.
I'm doing the plus 6.5 because I don't think I don't even need to buy.
Oh, my God.
I think it'll be that close of a game. And I love that.
Whenever I see 6.5, like, it's just like seeing 2.5.
I can't trust.
Why would you take plus 2.5?
I know Jake Elliott's going to miss a kick. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. I mean, hey, that's true. It's just like whenever I see 2.5 or 6.5, it's just like you always buy to the push. I get it. If it's at 7, you never buy to 7.5.
Morally, I never, ever buy to pushes. I can't.
It always works out for me whenever I do it. So I'm going
to
do it.
But theoretically, with the price, it's just not supposed, it's like you're paying extra to hope to push. It's like, obviously it doesn't matter at that point, because if you lost it to 6.5, then it's a loss.
Yeah. you're paying to save. Yeah.
I don't think that we need to buy.
Okay.
That's how like confident I am that
I like it. So me and Johnny are both on the Commanders at 6.5.
He thinks Commanders are gonna win. I think the Eagles are gonna win. Yes. I just think the Commanders are gonna cover this.
I'm gonna buy the Commanders to 7. Johnny's gonna stay at the 6.5. All right, let's go to the next game.
Buffalo Bills plus 1.5. At the Kansas City Chiefs, over under 47.5.
I'm going to ride Kansas City minus the 1.5. I just think that the Bills didn't show me enough in that Ravens game to make me believe that they just are like this team that nobody can stop right now. It just kind of felt like they got out of there alive, let the Ravens beat themselves, which sometimes there's a lot to be said for doing that in the playoffs. You know, you don't turn the ball over, you play clean football. There's a good chance you're going to win with Josh Allen at the helm. So I think that they have the same capabilities of doing that, but I just don't think the Chiefs are going to beat themselves this deep into the game. I think that the refs are going to obviously play a big factor. The Bills are definitely on like a lot of people I see saying, the Chiefs are going to get all the calls. I've seen the Bills get quite a few calls their way as well. So I don't necessarily know that the refs will play as big of a factor, but I do think if there's a close call and it comes down to the wire, it'll fall in the Chiefs' favor. I think the Chiefs head coach is better. Obviously, I think Andy Reid's a better head coach. I like Mahomes in these situations. I like Kelce as the X factor. I don't really think the Bills have that X factor to lean on. I think it's basically Josh Allen and James Cook try to control the running game. And if their running game is good enough, it kind of opens up the pass to these wide open plays. So maybe the Bills come out of here with a win, but I genuinely just don't. I think it's kind of destined for the Chiefs to get there at this point. I think the NFL wants to see them get there. So honestly, I think that the Chiefs will be there. I think the Chiefs will be there. 1.5 isn't enough in a playoff game in Arrowhead. I think like this should be at bare minimum, it should be a 3-point spread. I
think everyone thought it should be like 2.5, you know, like they're right there.
I think it should be a 3-point spread. I don't see, like, and if it's a 3-point spread, you're way, way more inclined to go with two even teams. You're getting a field goal. You might win Bills, but 1.5, not enough, man. Give me the KC.
I'm going to go opposite. I'm going to go to the Bills, +1.5. I think the game earlier in the year, I mean, it's not like how the game's going to play out now. We saw the Ravens earlier in the year dog walk the Bills and then vice versa.
Absolutely.
So I just think the refs got so much, like, scrutinized so much for how they ref the Chiefs game last week that you saw the complete 180 for the rest of the games. Jared Goff gets smoked on the interception return and they don't throw a flag. Lamar's getting thrown 10 yards out of bounds and no flags are being tossed. Same thing with Josh Allen, no flags. I think going into, because a lot of the conversation yesterday, Tuesday, was, hey, these reps are playing too big of a role into this. Now that all the spotlight's on them, I just don't think the Chiefs can have another performance like that. And they've had a lot of performances like that throughout the year and survive, because I think the refs are going to swallow the whistle a little bit this week. And the only other quarterback, if they don't, that gets those favorable calls is Josh Allen.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been that way all year. I don't think their defense, the Bills' defense, is anything to be afraid of. I think a lot of the turnovers last week were more or less just on Mark Andrews being an idiot and Lamar just not thinking straight, and I think Josh Allen's done a good job this year of taking care of the ball. I think he'll be able to move the ball pretty well enough, and I don't know. I mean, the Chiefs, to me, just they don't look right. I don't know what it is. They just don't look the same, and I know that could turn around next week and just totally bite me in the ass. Be like, same old Chiefs. They got the calls, and they squeaked out a win.
That's what I think is going to happen. That's what I do think is going to happen. I just don't see a world where the refs are going to let outside influence make that much of a difference. I see your point, and you could be 100% right. I just think overall, I think when the refs step onto the field, they're going to do the best they can to make the calls. But when things fall into the gray area, I think 9 out of 10 times it's going to fall Mahomes' way. So
it always does. So I can't be surprised at this point. So it might be stupid.
Even
for
in
me
the
to
Super Bowl,
it,
I mean, people always complained about it, you know, with Brady over the years and never changed.
Yeah.
People complained about it with the Chiefs over the years, and you saw the PI call that they called in the Eagles Super Bowl. I mean, cost the Eagles Super Bowl. So, like, you know, it's one of those things where I don't see that the refs are going to change. Like, you know, the dog doesn't change his spots. You know, I mean, it's just like that's just the way it is. A zebra doesn't change his stripes.
I will say, like, this game, Noah Gray over 1.5 catches.
Yeah, I mean, it's just always, that's a lock. You know, that's a lock. I agree. I think that the Chiefs are just, I mean, if we're going to call a spade, I think the Chiefs are a better football team as well. I know that they've gotten gifted a lot of these wins, but
I think defensively they're better.
If you go down position for position, if you go position for position, I really think the Chiefs are better. I think
I think quite opposite. Like, I think James Cook is better than Pacheco.
I agree with that.
I think, like, obviously Travis Kelce playoff, he's awesome.
I think Kelsey's better than their tight end group.
I don't know what Hopkins is anymore.
No,
he doesn't even get targeted.
But Hopkins is what you're comparing.
I'm comparing Hopkins to even Keon Coleman. I don't think he's better than at this point.
Yeah, I know, but I don't.
He just
think
doesn't even get past the ball.
I just don't think it's like one way or another. Yeah. I think it's fairly even.
I think Shakir right now is like a better player than Worthy.
I think it's close.
I just think, like, Worthy's a good end-around guy and sneak and does those kind of plays, but Shakir is just so, like...
I think Shakir's very good, but I think Xavier Worthy has definitely turned a corner. I think Xavier Worthy's, like, a big X factor for the Chiefs. I think he does
very well.
Of course.
I just think on paper, like,
if their offenses are this similar, right? Like, where Mahomes and Kelce, you know, obviously I lean Mahomes, but, like, I could see the argument. Shakir and Worthy, you could see the argument. Kelce, I think, is a little bit better than their tight ends, and I think Cook is a little bit better than Pacheco. Offensive lines are similar. I think when you're looking at it, they stand toe-to-toe pretty well offensively.
The difference to me is Josh Allen. I think this year Josh Allen's just – I mean, it's pretty evident that this particular year, maybe not in the playoffs, but as far as regular season, he is head and shoulders above Patrick Mahomes this year.
But
as far as taking care of the ball, you know, throwing touchdowns and rushing the ball, he's just – he's just,
he's had a better year. But I just think in the playoffs, it's the playoffs. So I think they go tit for tat. And then if you just look at the defensive side of the ball, I think the Chiefs are
a lot better than
they this. Are. I mean, that was the big reason why we didn't like the Bills going into the year.
So when you're telling me that you got Mahomes, playoff Mahomes, playoff Kelsey, playoff Andy Reid going against this Bills defense, I don't think that they're going to struggle much. And I think that the Bills are going to struggle a little bit.
I don't think they will struggle that much either. I mean, the Chiefs defense has been better than this in the past. And the Bills have put up some good numbers.
100 No, I'm not saying it's not possible. I'm just saying, like if you're talking,
it'll be a good game. I think it'll be a great game. It'll just, like you said, it. You gotta go with the Chiefs when it's
this
tight
close
area. And you can't go wrong.
I mean, just look at it from this perspective, right? You got both teams very similarly stacked on offense, right?
Yeah.
And then on defense, you're gonna give the edge to the Chiefs. Coaching, you're gonna give the edge to the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And then home field advantage, you're going to give the edge to the Chiefs. So it's like if all the edges, if you're right here,
well,
and all
the
edges
got to
Chiefs.
That you're right.
Yeah.
Because on paper, like power rankings wise, if this game was on a neutral, the Bills would be favored by probably 2 points, you know?
Yeah.
Like, in all honesty.
It was in Buffalo. Because if the Chiefs were getting 2, the Chiefs getting 8 and a 6-point tease is a lock.
I think the same thing this week. I think if you did a 6-point tease with the Commanders and the Bills.
I know, and I was thinking about it.
Like, I don't think the Chiefs are beating the Bills by more than 7.
I would hope not, because I would love to see this matchup come down to the wire. This is what we all wait for all year.
It is.
This is what we wait for all year.
This is what the Bills have been prepping for, is like, hey, we're redoing how we do things to control the ball more, less turnovers. They're not going to let themselves beat themselves, you know? Like, they're not going to pull Ravens and just turn the ball over. Like, they're just
– dude,
they're operating on a different
– crazy, crazy, crazy take. Josh Allen's going to be Dan Marino 2.0.
I'll never win one.
Never win one, and everyone's always going to talk about how he had the arm talent of a fucking god. He had the arm talent of a god. The guy could make any throw on the field. He was incredible. This guy was one of the best to ever do it, and he never won. That's what that Josh Allen's Dan Marino 2.0. And I think that people will look back. Josh Allen will be remembered. He will be a great quarterback. I just don't think he's ever going to get over the hump.
Could this be the Amari Cooper game?
Could be. I mean, it's a bold take. I think Amari Cooper is very talented.
You know?
I think he's a very talented receiver for sure. I don't think that there's anything wrong with Amari Cooper. I just don't think that he's had enough time to gel with Josh Allen. And I just don't think like they're on the same page. Like, I think looking back in years past, I know Diggs was a total diva and a cancer, but like him and Josh Allen tended to be on the same page more times than they weren't. So I think that was a better combo than what they have now in Amari Cooper and him.
Yeah, I'm hoping he figures it out. I know, Greg said, he's like, oh, what's Amari Cooper anymore? I'm like, well, last year he had 1,200 yards.
He's good. Right? He's very, very good. He's very, very good.
It's not like he's washed. He's just got to find his role in the offense. I just think they have so many weapons, so do Chiefs. I'm just hoping for a great game. Like, I wanted this to be the Ravens-Chiefs, and I wanted the Ravens because I think the Ravens could have possibly dog-walked the Chiefs during this game.
Mm-hmm.
But this is where we are now.
Yeah.
I'm not mad at it. And the Chiefs and Bills are going to play each other probably a few more times in the next couple years.
I know. And it doesn't feel the same because it almost feels like both teams were gifted the spot, you know? So it doesn't feel the same like, you know, that a few years ago when they were both played in the AFC Championship game. I think it felt like, hey, we got 1A versus 1B. Like, this is going to be a dogfight. Whereas I feel like this year, a lot of people are down on the Chiefs. A lot of people kind of feel as if the Bills were gifted the game. So it kind of feels like both teams kind of snuck in, and now we're just kind of hoping for them to kind of revert back to what they used to be and kind of have this big clash of the Titans.
I think that's what everyone's waiting for the Chiefs to do. You know, I feel like a lot of people are down on the Chiefs, and that's when they're the most dangerous.
I agree. That's why I've been saying it all year long. Everyone looks at me like I'm boring or making some weird pick, and it's just like the Chiefs are always going to find a way to get it done, man.
It's weird because, like, you know, the Patriots, when they had their run, they you never felt like they didn't deserve to be there. They were always the best team. They're always the most prepared. They always, at least, like, on both sides of the ball, played to the best level. Mm-hmm. Like, the Chiefs are on, but you remember those. There was years the Patriots were, like, minus 20-plus points on a weekly basis, how dominant they were in their runs. Where the Chiefs are just scraping by, where the Patriots were just so dominant. And that's why I think
that way for a little bit, though.
Only against, like,
bad teams.
Bad teams.
Yeah, no, I get it.
The Patriots, I mean, they were laying they were laying
like, big points. I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying.
We're like, you never felt like they didn't deserve to be there. We're like, in a playoff win, Tom Brady was never getting outgained by 200 yards and winning by 10.
Like, no, that but that one game against the Jaguars where the refs blew the whistle every single fucking time and robbed the Jags of getting in. So it's like, I think that they're similar. I think that they're very, very similar in the fact that Brady gets the calls. He gets in there sometimes. And you need luck on your side if you're going to be the GOAT, you know? I mean, these guys can't do every single thing on their own. I mean, they play one position. Obviously, it's the most important position, but they need help. They need outside help to get there. So
yeah, I mean, the team that gets more penalties loses the game.
It just is what it is.
How it goes.
So I like where we're at. Maybe you would like to see the Chiefs and the Bills with a little bit more momentum than they have. It doesn't really feel like they have any momentum. It kind of feels like, oh, fuck, we're here. Yeah. It doesn't really feel like, hey, like we just kicked the shit out of them. We're coming. It just kind of feels like, oof, we both got here. Let's see if we can both like make something happen.
Yeah, let's make – that's why I felt so confident. Like and the other side, I feel like the Eagles couldn't be playing worse, and they're still just winning, you know, not convincingly, but they're winning like, hey, you know, like – even against the Rams, like, hey, you know what? They were up 13 points with 4 minutes left. So if you were in that position, you were pretty comfortable. Saquon doesn't sit down against the Packers. They win by 17. It's like they kind of just take care of business where, like,
absolutely.
I just feel like you said, both teams are just skating by waiting for this moment. And now that we're here, I hope it lives up to what it's
supposed I think it's going to. I think the tides will turn, and I think Mahomes and Josh will give everybody what they want. So We'll hope for the best. I'm gonna ride with the Chiefs minus the one. Johnny's gonna ride with the Bills plus the 1.5. And then all right, we have our last. Like we're both a little bit off on our Super Bowl picks, but we both still have our winners alive. Johnny had the Eagles playing the Ravens with the Eagles winning. Ravens got knocked out last week. I had the Chiefs playing the Rams. Rams got knocked out last week, but we both had the Chiefs and the Eagles winning. So our matchup could be available. It would be sick if Johnny's pick played my pick. It would be good for content. It would be good for the last week. But I unfortunately do think my final prediction now that we're in the championship week will be the Chiefs play the Commanders. And honestly, depending on the performances this week, I still think the Chiefs are going to three-peat. But man, oh man, deep down to the darkest part of me, do I wish for Jaden Daniels to hold that trophy?
If you took out both teams, well, you know, Jaden Daniels doesn't have a pass, but like, if you just put both teams side by side and left there, and you didn't know who was who, you would say going into this game, you would pick the Commanders to beat the Chiefs.
Like, yeah, I would, but
probably 8 times out of 10.
I would, but I feel like when you operate that way, that's how you lose because that is what Jaden Daniels is missing, right? Jaden Daniels is missing the experience. Doesn't really look like he needs all that much of it because he seems cool, calm, and collected in every big moment. But
that,
you know,
Super Bowl moment is huge.
Even the coolest, calmest, collected guys, they crack, man. I mean, you saw Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow was about as cool, calm, collected as you could be for a young quarterback going in versus that Rams team. And what happened? Experience trumped, right? Sean McVay and Matt Stafford's been in the league for however long. He gets with the right team. The
same thing. He's never really played in a big moment like that.
No, I know. So. But I'm just saying, like, the experience of playing over the however many years kind of trumped what Joe Burrow had as that Mr. Joe Cool, nothing's too big for me.
It would be awesome to see Daniels win the Super Bowl. And
I would love it.
He's already had the best rookie performance by a quarterback.
It would be like a passing of the torch. Like, honestly, it could kind of somewhat knock off, like, it could be the start to dethroning Mahomes.
Oh, and he's only going to get better. And there's players that are only going to want to go and play.
I don't think it's going to happen. So don't twist my words. I don't think that's what's going to happen. But if it does, you have to start having the conversation. Like, hey, if this is what this guy could do in his rookie year with a team that was projected to win 4 football games, I mean, Jesus Christ! I mean, what are we talking about?
You got to feel bad for the Giant fans with that clip circulating back around from Hard Knocks, where Joe Sheen's son. Who do you want to draft? Trade Jaden Daniels. You only have this job once. You might as well try to win.
Yeah. You know what's so crazy, though, is like I could see Jaden Daniels kind of becoming a top five guy, kind of like a Joe Burrow did. Like, I think a lot of people thought Joe Burrow was going to win that Super Bowl against the Rams. And if he did, I think the tides would have definitely started to turn. I think people would have started to view Joe Burrow as better than Mahomes, at least going into that year. And then if he would have kind of repeated it, like, I think it could have been the start of something new.
Yeah.
But Joe Burrow still regarded as one of the best quarterbacks. But, I mean, look at the season he had and he didn't make the playoffs. So could Jaden Daniels kind of be that guy who gets all the way to the big moment, kind of falls to the king, and then kind of
falls back down to reality, kind of has these unbelievable regular seasons, but never really gets anywhere. It could turn into that. But
hey, you know what? Mahomes had to fall to the king before he got the torch.
It's true. So, it's true.
If Daniels loses to Mahomes before he gets the torch, then that's just the way it's going to be.
I know. It would be sick. I listen, I've said it since week one. I've wanted the Commanders to go all the way. And then when we started in the playoffs, I said, I picked the Bucs.
Yeah,
don't get it twisted. I picked the Bucs, but I did say the winner of that game, I want to wreak havoc to the rest of these playoffs, and that's exactly what he's doing. So,
I still wish it was Baker and Mike Evans, but what are you going to do?
I love Jaden, so we'll see what happens. So, final prediction, Johnny's got the Eagles beating the Bills in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And my final prediction is I have the Chiefs beating the Commanders in the Super Bowl. So we are completely different, completely opposite, as opposite as you can get going into this
championship
week. One of us
could look like a genius next week, and one could look
back. Or we could be split it right down the middle. We could split it right down the middle, and maybe I get my Chiefs pick, maybe he gets his Eagles pick, and then we have a battle to the end here.
Yeah. As always, thank you for everyone listening. We're still on TikTok at Double or Nothing Podcast, YouTube, and Instagram, Apple Podcasts, all those good things. So just keep giving us a follow. We'll be back next week to recap all these games and to talk about the early lines of the Super Bowl.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll be back. Maybe we'll try to do something cool next week, like some sort of maybe get somebody on.
Yeah, maybe we'll bring
something.
Bruno back and do some games.
Yeah. We'll do something cool for the Super Bowl week. But appreciate everybody who listens. Appreciate everybody who follows and supports since day one. So appreciate y'all. Peace and love, and we'll see you next week.
Let's go, Eagles.